And that was the title cut off of Lucy Kaplansky's most recent CD, Reunion. And, of course, Lucy will be appearing tomorrow evening here in Grand Marais at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts, along with John Gorka and Eliza Gilkison, in what may be the best concert of the year as Red Horse. She joined us now from her home in New York. Lucy, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Nice to speak with you again. We were talking off the air that you appeared here. It's got to be not quite. It seems to me it's your daughter's 9, right?
She's 10.
Oh, 10.
How old was she then?
You know, just not very old. I can remember you talking about
it. Yeah, I think it was like 7 years ago.
Something like that. And here's what, other than fantastic music, here's what I remember from that concert. You were talking in between a couple of numbers, and all of a sudden you just stopped. There was dead silence, and you said, "There's a great big spider up here."
And oh, my God.
And everybody kind of laughed, and you said, "No, you guys, I'm serious. There's a great big spider up here, and I don't know what we should do." So,
I think I remember that now.
So Doug Livesay, who was running the board for you, jumped up out of his seat, leapt up on the stage, crushed the spider, and the concert went on flawlessly.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I remember the weirdest things. Anyway, we are so excited to have you back in Grand Marais, and particularly as part of Red Horse. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I also want to let our listeners know that the concert is on Saturday night at 7:30, and tickets are available by calling the Arrowhead Center for the Arts. A number of years ago, it doesn't seem it's possible. I think I read that it was in 98. You and Dar Williams and Richard Schindel were part of a kind of formed a group called Cry, 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 and released one of the best CDs ever released.
It really is.
It's still one of the best. It doesn't seem possible. It was that long ago.
I know. Believe me, it doesn't seem possible to me either, but it was.
I know. It was 1998.
It was 98. Yeah. What is that, 15 years?
Yeah, 14, 15 years.
That's scary.
But now, Red Horse with John and Eliza, how did this collaboration come to be?
So, Eliza and I, well, we had all sung together, but not all three of us together. I've sung with Eliza, John sung with Eliza, I've sung with John for a million years.
Sure.
And Eliza had this idea, why don't the three of us do some gigs? So she emailed me and John. Oh, no, she emailed me. This is 3 years ago. I said, you want to do some gigs, you, me, and John? And I mentioned it to my husband, and he has great ideas. And he said, why don't you guys make a CD? And I thought, that's a really good idea. So I emailed John and Eliza. I said, you know, why don't we make a CD? Are you guys game? And they both said, sure. And we had no idea kind of what we were getting ourselves into, because we all live in different parts of the country.
Right.
And it ended up being, you know, logistically not the simplest thing to do, but we did it, you know, all by kind of file sharing. I mean, we sent files back and forth and managed to make the record. And then people really loved the record, and it sort of took on a life of its own. And it's 3 years later, and we're still going.
Yeah, and it is a phenomenal CD as well.
Oh, thanks.
A little bit different than Cry, 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 where you, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we're the three of you sang together and covered other people's songs. In this one, you all sing each other's songs.
Is that exactly right?
Yeah, yeah. Things are different in the recording industry, where the three of you don't have to get into a studio.
No, it's really a different world now.
Send out the files and record it over and back up or whatever, and away you go.
Yep, that's right.
And so obviously that record then led to some gigs, some performing together, and I know that this concert is one of, actually, if I'm not mistaken, three that you're doing in Minnesota. You're at St. John's, and then here, and then in Duluth. Are you doing more on this particular tour, or just
no? That's three? It. Then we're all going home, and those are the last gigs we have on the books for a while. I think we're just going to be taking a break, but I'm sure there will be more. So anyone who's listening, this is a good chance to see us, because I'm not exactly sure when the next thing's going to be.
This could be the farewell tour.
Well, I don't know about that, but it could be a while.
I know, but you know, that's what everybody does. They always bill us farewell tours, and then they come back and do another one anyway.
So, I know, exactly.
No big deal.
It's a farewell tour, right.
Now let's talk a little bit about your most recent CD, and I want to remind our listeners we're visiting with Lucy Kaplansky, who will be here on Saturday evening at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts, along with John Gorka and Eliza Gilkison. Your latest CD, Reunion, once again, mostly original music. I think you've got three or four that where you cover somebody else's music.
Right.
And this is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, your 10th CD?
I think it's my 7th solo CD.
Okay, 7th.
Is it my 10th? God, it could be the 10th CD that I'm on.
Yeah.
Between Red Horse and Cry, 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 and God knows what else.
Yeah, and the nods to Bob and that.
Oh, yeah, right.
But this one was released last year, and I am always struck by particularly the music that you write and perform, how personal it is. And I got that impression with Reunion too. I mean, these things are about Mother's Day, obviously about you and your daughter, and
right.
Reunion, that cut about reunions that you used to attend in Toronto. How difficult is it, A, to write about that, and then B, to perform what you've written about things that are so very personal?
It's the only way I really know how to write. So writing is difficult, but it's not any more difficult than the other kind of writing for me. I really take seriously the old adage, write what you know. That's what seems mm-hmm. to work for me. How hard is it to perform? Sometimes, you know, these songs, a couple of them, especially on this album, are kind of gut-wrenching and about, you know, sort of the loss of my parents,
yep.
who were old, but it's gut-wrenching nonetheless. And it definitely was a while before I could perform a couple of them and get through them.
Interesting.
So, but in terms of being personal, I don't know. That's not hard. It's not inherently hard to perform something personal. For me, anyway, I know that there are other people who just don't do that.
Yeah,
just can't. But for me, it just feels kind of normal and natural.
Well, and perhaps, well, I'll go out on a limb and say that perhaps is my favorite of all your songs, Today's the Day, which was on the Over the Hill CD about your dad. And
Goodbye to my dad.
That one, to this day, and I can't tell you how many times I've listened to that song, touches me every single time I hear it. And I thank you for that, because not everybody can do that. And I think
that's so sweet of you. I mean, it's very hard for me to sing that one. It's very hard.
Yeah,
it's hard for me
sure.
when I listen to it, which isn't very often. I very hard to get through it. You know, but it's amazing. It's so universal. I mean, everybody loses their parents.
Exactly.
At one point or another, everybody says goodbye. If you're lucky, you get to say goodbye.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
And that is a gift.
That's a gift. Yeah. And I was given a great gift to be able to see him before he passed away, and that he lived so long and that he wasn't in pain. And, you know, so it's a very, very important, meaningful song to me for sure. But I must say that people really, really experience it, you know, kind of centered around their own losses. And that means a lot.
Yeah. And I would think that must be, as a songwriter particularly, but certainly one who then gets to perform it, that must be a very special thing too, to be able to have people listen to a song and then experience it related to their own lives and experience. That's what makes a song great, it seems to me.
Well, I think that's probably, I don't know if that's what makes a song great, but it certainly is what I look for when I'm listening to other people's music. I want to really be moved.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
And when people come up to me, I mean, and there's a couple of songs on this album, I'll See You Again is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people come up to me literally in tears and say how much that song meant to them. And that is, I can't tell you how sort of gratifying that is for me. It means so much to me. It makes it all the schlepping and, you know, some of the drudgery that's involved in getting to gigs and all, it really makes it worth it. Like that people can share that with me and that they feel like I've shared something with them.
And in talking about your dad, I learned something that I didn't know. And I knew, of course, that your dad was a mathematician of some renown.
Mm-hmm.
But you released, I don't know if it was a CD, that back in 2011, Kaplansky mm-hmm. Sings Kaplansky, of mm-hmm. songs that your dad wrote. And in fact,
right.
some of them were songs that you and your dad sang together. But I can't find that CD or that recording anywhere.
Yeah. No, it's only, I actually am only selling it at my shows.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If you give me, you know, off the air, give me your address, I'll make sure you get one.
Well,
but that's really just, I'm just selling it on
I plan to be at the show anyway, so
okay.
Maybe I can get it there. But that, now, were these songs that had been recorded a long time ago?
No.
That you did with him?
No. There's two versions of the songs on the CD. One is studio versions I did, I think it was 2011.
Okay.
With a great piano player, New York piano player, Andy Ezrin. And then the other part is part of a live show.
Oh, I see.
From 2000 with my dad.
Ah.
So there's two different versions.
Got
it. Yeah, so that was 13 years ago.
Sure.
It was 83 at the
no
time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
One doesn't always associate being a mathematician with being a musician.
Right. I mean, well, they
I don't
think
know
math
why.
And music go together.
Yeah,
and
I guess that's right.
I think they do. I mean, I think I was always good in math. I think there's some similar part of the brain that makes you good at both, but he was definitely stellar at both. Really talented piano player, perfect pitch. And he just wrote these songs for fun, and they're very funny and quirky, and people just love them.
Oh, that's great. Now, one thing I was going to ask you, I want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Lucy Kaplansky. Lucy will be back in Grand Marais after about a 7 or 8 year hiatus, Saturday night at 7:30 at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts as part of Red Horse with John Gorka and Eliza Gilkison. Most probably Lucy Kaplansky fans know, although maybe there's some people that don't, that way back when, you didn't necessarily start out to be a singer, touring all over the place. You got a PhD in psychology, and you were a psychologist.
Yeah, well, I started out as a singer, and then I left because I told myself I didn't want it, and then I realized, I became a psychologist, and ironically, and this is really true, it was in therapy with a really good psychologist that I realized that I wanted to be a singer, so... I always wanted to be a singer from the time I was little. So it was just this misguided, I don't know, episode of my life. That I mean, I don't regret it, and I learned so much, and I loved my patients, but it was never sort of the great passion of my life.
Huh.
The way.
And how long did you do that before you realized that you wanted to go back to music?
I actually had just finished grad school when I started seeing this new therapist and realized pretty, I don't know, I'd finished grad school a few months before when I realized, oh my God, I want to be a singer.
Huh.
So I was a psychologist. I worked as a psychologist for 5 years after that. Before I left psychology completely, I was just getting too busy with music.
Huh. And so then it sounds like that was not a difficult decision for you to make. I mean,
it was very difficult, actually.
Was
and
it?
I had worked very hard to become a psychologist, and I couldn't, it was very hard for me to pull the trigger. And I remember, the way I remember it is I said to my husband one day, I think I need to leave being a psychologist. And he sort of looked at me like, duh, of course you do. So for him, it was obvious. For me, it was very hard. But once I made the decision, oh my God, it was so clear I was making the right decision. I never looked back.
That's interesting. I have a friend who's a artist. He's a sculptor. And I asked him one time, I said, did you ever want to be anything other than a sculptor? And he said, I have tried every which way I know not to be a sculptor. And
no,
I can't.
That's
something he has to do that he is so drawn to.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, I tried to not do it, and
yeah.
I couldn't do it. Yeah,
huh.
Exactly.
What we've mentioned already, you're married, you have a 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
How has being a mother changed how you look at your art now, writing songs and performing? Has it changed?
I don't think it's changed any of that. It certainly changed my outlook in general, which is to say that I think I have a much better sense of what's really important in life,
mm-hmm.
which is no question family and the people you love. Like, that's what matters. And you know, I think I used to be sort of much more kind of ambitious. Like, you know, I'm not ambitious the same way. Like, I'm happy with the life I have. I'm so grateful to be able to make a living at music. And I also have my family. It's like I don't need any more than that. And mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have felt that way if I didn't become a mother.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she doesn't like it when I go away, although I think it's honestly at this point much harder for me than it is for her. And I go away for very short, like, weekends.
Uh-huh.
But I think she also, she's a drummer. She's learning to drum.
Oh, really?
And I think she, you know, I think she may end up being a musician. And so she's got a mom who's a musician as a potential role model, and that's kind of a cool thing.
I don't know how to break this to you, unless your daughter is way different than mine was and a number of others that I know. But over the next couple of years, she will mind you leaving less and less.
I know, that's what everybody tells me, and I'm dreading it. No, I know that's what I'm in for.
However,
really,
then it comes back around.
Her own thing.
Then it comes around back around the other way, where they love hanging around you, you know. So then it's all worth it.
I know, that's what people tell me. They come back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're still in the "I don't want you to go away, I want to be with you" phase, and it's very hard for me to go away.
Yeah,
but you're absolutely right. Probably in 3 years, it'll be like, oh, bye. See
yeah,
you.
Isn't it time for you to go?
And then it won't. And then maybe it won't be so painful for me. So
yeah. Well, obviously, you know, you said something. I read something that you wrote. Oh, I guess it was on your website, talking about family and social connections with friends and so forth. And you said you find yourself clearer about your priorities, your purpose, your politics, and your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I find that interesting because while some of those I am, I find the older I get, sometimes I'm not as clear as I thought I was, but in a good way, about my faith or my politics. I'm not so set for some reason.
That's interesting. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm always learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am. I do. I love to learn new things. So I think that's a really good point. Like, I'm open to persuasion in some ways, but I feel like I'm wiser about the world than I used to be.
Yeah.
And my place in the world and what's right and what's wrong. And that I don't think it's going to change much.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to be wiser about what's right and what's wrong. I think that's a song there, Lucy.
Oh, that's not bad. I should write that down before I forget it.
Well, once again, I want to let our listeners know we have been visiting with Lucy Kaplansky. Lucy and John Gorka and Eliza Gilkison. You know, as a public radio station, we are not supposed to, we're not by the Federal Trade Commission or whoever governs us, we're not supposed to encourage people. We're not supposed to issue calls to action other than to say that perhaps this will be the best concert in our area in a long, long time.
Thank you.
And
very sweet of you.
That will be Saturday night, and we are so looking forward to having you back up here again. We love your music, and it's just really going to be fun to see you again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the air. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.